March 15th, meeting of Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3:25. With us, we have Representative Lynn, Representative Book, Representative T. Wilson, Representative Holmes, myself, Chair Olson. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to do something that I don't think I've ever done in committee yet. I'd like to acknowledge the presence of a friend and my mentor, Senator John Torgerson, who is not here to testify on a bill, but just in the room today. The first item on the agenda today is House Bill 376, extending the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associates. With us, we have Lynn Clement. I believe the sponsor is out of town. Please join us, Lynn, and welcome.
Thank you, Representative Olson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Liz Clement. No problem.
Typo.
And I'm staff to District 38 Representative Bob Herron. Rep. Herron regrets being unable to join you himself today. He's currently traveling back to the Capitol from home in Bethel. House Bill 376 is a House Health and Social Services Committee bill to extend the sunset date for the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners 8 years from its current expiration date of June 30th, 2010, this year, to a new sunset on June 30th, 2018. The board is composed of 5 volunteer members who, with support from staff in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, license and regulate psychologists and psychological associates in our state. In doing so, they ensure Alaska's practitioners meet appropriate educational and practice standards and provide safe, professional psychological support services to anyone who seeks them. In 2009, the Division of Legislative Audit Report included in your bill packet finds no substantive problems with the board or its performance, affirms the value of the role it fills, and recommends an 8-year extension. The fiscal note provided by DCCED estimates an annual budget of $78,500 covered fully by licensing fees collected from applicants. No state dollars are required. With the board currently set to expire in June, it's imperative that House Bill 378 pass the legislature this session, or else the state will lose its necessary oversight ability. And to wrap it up, we have online and in the room some great resources from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, from the board, from the Division of Legislative Audit, and also from the Alaska Psychological Association. With that said, I thank you very much for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. I was wondering, it looked like 3 of the 11 licenses were looked at, and there was problems with each one of the 3. It was on page 7 of the findings. And I'm just curious why you didn't check the rest of the, or why the, I guess it wouldn't be you, but why they didn't check the other 8.
Thank you, Representative Wilson, for that question. You're right, that's not a question I'm really able to answer, but it might be able to be referred to someone with us online.
That's fine.
Yes.
Or possibly the auditor.
Or in the room. Yeah.
Whoever would like to.
Any further questions for Ms. Clement? Thanks again. Pat, would you care to join us?
For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Through the chair, Representative Wilson. With regard to that issue, 3 out of 10 or 3 out of 11 tells us they have a problem and enough for us to make a recommendation. What we found was this isn't that the issue about courtesy license. What had happened is that we felt that the licensing examiner was falling down a little bit in not following up and making sure the reports were coming in. There wasn't a licensing issue per se. It is something that needed to be dealt with, but testing additional transactions when we already know that they have a problem wouldn't be considered an efficient use of audit resources.
Follow up. Is there a reason that you didn't recommend it be extended for 4 years instead of 8?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the 3 recommendations, 2 of the 3 recommendations are what I would consider board support. It's support being provided by the division. It isn't a problem with the board itself. what we do is we try to differentiate when we're looking at what our recommendation for extension is. Is it a board issue or is it a board support issue? And what we found is these three recommendations, two of them were board support by the division, and then the third one was Office of the Governor not appointing members to the board in a timely manner. So none of those really, while they raised a concern to us, none of them raised board issue concerns.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Any further questions for Pat? Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you.
Online, we have a couple people that might be able to take that further for you.
Hopefully,
we still have two people online? Lisa Turner, are you with us, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining us today. Did you hear Representative Wilson's question by chance?
Yes, I did.
Could you please state your name and affiliation for the record? I certainly know who you are, but I don't know if the rest of the committee does.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Olson. My name is Lisa Turner, and I am a licensed psychological associate and am currently the interim chair for the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners.
So, Representative Wilson, would you care to follow up on your question? Or do you have an...
My question was answered. But
oh, okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Dr. Turner? We got off easy, Lisa. And we also have Dr. Baker on question. If anybody has any questions for Dr. Baker, none. Is there anybody else online that would care to testify? Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? With that, I'm going to close it out for public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion or anything else. Representative Wilson.
Since no one seems to have any questions, I move House Bill number 376 /R with all recommendations and fiscal note.
Seeing no opposition, the bill moves out of committee and we'll take a brief at ease. The record also reflect we've been joined by Representative Newman. The second item on the agenda is House Bill 410, Aid to Loans. And with us, we've got Ted Leonard and Mark Davis. Want to both want to join us, or one at a time? Or
one at a time.
Want to make Mark do it?
Well, I'm going to make him do most of it.
Okay. Well, welcome, Ted.
Well, thank you. For the record, I'm Ted Leonard, the Executive Director of Aid to. And we'd like to thank the chair and the committee for hearing House Bill 410, an act relating to changes to our loan participation program and also our development program. And also, one other person with us is Kathy Jeans from the Division of Investments. And Division of Investment runs our Rural Development Investment Fund, and she's here to answer a few questions on that fund also. So just very quickly, I'd just like to go over why Aid is asking for this these changes in its statutes. And the main reason is, I think we've mentioned a couple times before in testifying on other bills, that Aid has been going through a strategic plan over the last year and to improve our effectiveness in the organization and promoting economic development. And these changes are some of the first steps we're taking to implement this plan, where we're going to change the effectiveness of our two main programs and also add a new development tool in our toolbox. And at the same time, with the way we've written these bills, we also plan to protect the rate of return to the state, i.e. the dividend. So both these changes, we believe, will actually protect the dividend and actually, as a corporation, increase the dividend in years coming. The first section of the bill is intended to modernize our loan participation program. It's mainly dealing with how interest rates are set on loans that we fund internally. The second section of the bill adds an incentive interest rebate program to Aid's commercial finance division lending programs. And this program is to help us incentivize businesses to invest in areas that are economically distressed, maybe rural areas, or also that meet others' economic criteria set in regulation. And the third section, which we believe is very important as ADA moves forward, is to clarify that ADA can own actually a portion of a project, an economic development project, and not have to own the full project. We have in our purposes, it states that we can own an interest in the project, but then when you get into the statutes that deal with where our money is, it says that we will own a project. So there's some cross, we think, in the statute, and we're hoping to get that clarified this year in the legislature. And then the fourth and fifth sections of the bill actually deal with our Rural Development Initiative Fund, and that's a fund that was funded by ADA and is on our balance sheets, but it's run by the Division of Investments for DCCED. And Kathy Jeans was going to come up and quickly go over the program and testify on how these changes will affect the program. So I can bring our economic development officer up. Mark's in charge of looking at the effectiveness of our programs and also coming up with new development tools that will help ADA in the future. So if the chair's permission, I'd have Mark come up. And
any questions for Ted before he leaves the table? Okay. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Chair.
Mark, welcome back.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Mark Davis, and I'm currently at ADA. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for hearing the bill. This has three proposals for ADA. The first is to change the way we calculate the minimum interest rate for the commercial finance program. It used to be called a credit program. Under that program, ADA works with financial institutions and banks, credit unions, to make loans in participation with a private borrower. So the way that works is the bank or the financial institution first brings the person to ADA. They decide it might be a good vehicle for that participation. The bank and ADA negotiate and determine how much ADA will put into the project and go up to 90%. The way we set the interest rate for that now is based upon the bond market. ADA statutes require it to use cost of funds. That's been interpreted over the years to mean the cost that ADA would incur if it floated a brand new bond to fund the money it would need to lend. Over time, what ADA has really been doing is lending its own money. This has turned into a revolving loan fund. So we thought it might be appropriate to change that system. The reason particularly is acute now because of anomalies created in the bond market. In May of 2009, the bond market essentially disappeared and is slowly coming back. But because of that, in this year, last year, at one point, based on the cost of a bond, ADA's minimum loan participation rate rose to 9.64%, while the average money rate was 5.48. And that's a large spread. Even today, the spread's 1.33. So what we'd like to do is then tie a cost of funds to a money market index. So the bill says that we could use some type of national index to set the minimum rate rather than having Goldman Sachs go out and calculate what might be the artificial cost of a bond. So right now, we would say a nationally recognized market index that we could use could be the Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle, if this bill was passed. Could be Treasury bills, the Federal Farm Credit Bank's Funding Corporation Funding Cost Index. That's a mouthful. But that's a well-regarded index. LIBOR, which is the London index, Fannie Mae, or other federal securities indexes. The two changes would occur. First, we think the rates would go down, which would make this loan program more competitive. And secondly, they'd be more transparent. Right now, we have to calculate the interest rate by using Goldman Sachs on a month-by-month basis. We calculate our cost of administration, and we publish a rate, so it's always within every 30 days. If we used a national index, anybody who is interested in the program, either a bank or a potential borrower, could just go to the index and see essentially what ADA would charge them if they worked in the program. So we think that would be a little better and faster. It would also set our rate to the money markets rather than the bond market. And essentially the bond market right now, there's a disconnection between how bonds are being sold and the cost of funds. And so this would be a, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark, can you expand a little bit on money markets and bond markets and their differences?
Sure. Representative Newman, through the chair. The bond market essentially is what investors are willing to pay for certain bond issuances. There are two major types, municipal tax-free bonds and then private bonds, which are taxable. Traditionally, municipal non-taxable bonds were at the basis of most portfolios, and then there were other private bonds that could either be done by private distribution or by public auction bonds. What's happened is the municipal bond market has essentially almost disappeared. It's slowly coming back, but it's not very robust. Under the AAR, the Recovery Act, the Congress has enacted 8 new forms of bonds which are in the process of finding their place in the market, but which don't have a steady market right now. What that means, therefore, is that there's a lot more private placement bonds than there used to be, and those are hard to track with interest rates. And basically, people are trying to find safe havens. The extreme of that was raised in November 2008 when the Treasury bills went negative. That means if you put in $100 and you left it there for 6 months, the Treasury would give you back $99. Those bonds sold in less than a week. Why would people want to lose a dollar? Because that was better than losing 10 to 12% in the market. So, and the market's still unstable. So there's usually been an inverse relationship between the bond market and the stock market, and those correlations are no longer holding true. Is that a good explanation?
I learned a lot more than I did when I started. Thank you.
Okay. We all, yeah.
So if we went to this system, therefore, we could track our rates, hopefully, be more competitive. The program has been very successful since 2002. The credit participation program has created 4,720 jobs and 2,900 construction jobs. We have a portfolio of $376 million in there right now, and we have about $24 million in pending applications. These are used largely for commercial real estate, so this is a program that is helping the Alaska economy. And keeping that rate competitive would do that. And this bill does that through a fairly complicated mechanism, but it would adjust the rates.
Representative Booth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony, and it is somewhat complex but enlightening. Have you gone through these processes before where you've been reflexive to the economic markets?
Representative Booth, through the chair, under the old system, we always adjusted it under the bond rate, and Goldman Sachs every 30 days would do that. So it has been floating since 1987 up and down based on the bond market. And traditionally, the bond market was traditionally low, and it worked pretty well. I mean, the one reason for this change is the change in the bond market. If we had a traditional bond market, I think we had a competitive program, as shown by the statistics. Right now, we don't.
I might follow up. So there's still opportunity if things reverse that you could also follow that as well in a respective manner.
Representative Booth, through the chair, that's an excellent question. That's exactly right. Because we're looking at a nationally published index, we could use, for example, Treasury bills. Mm. We could use a bond index. We could respond and choose an index that helps the program and protects the portfolio from credit risk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The second Mr. Leonard said, is a incentive rebate program in the loan participation program. Right now, no matter what your project does, we give you the same rate. The proposal on the table is that if your project would lead to jobs, development in rural areas, or other economic development criteria, ADA would give up to a 1% rebate for the first 5 years of the loan back to the borrower. That would encourage people, hopefully, to bring projects into banks and then into ADA that met those development criteria. Some other economic development criteria that we might use by regulation would be development in distressed areas, which would mirror the rehabilitation loans of the federal government, creation of startup companies, new technology, or alternative energy. So this would be a reform that would allow us to offer that rebate if the loans met certain economic development criteria. That would move the loan participation program more toward economic development, which is part of our strategic plan. The third element.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mark, Mr. Davis, what type of economic development opportunities do you see in the state that you could be participating in or future ones that you may be aware of?
Representative Newman, through the chair, we are monitoring a series of things that have been brought into ADA. They come in through the Loan Participation Program, or they come in through the Development Finance Program, which I'll get to in the next part of the bill. With that one, we're currently looking at possible plants, ideas that have been brought to us, which we're going through our due diligence. We certainly are interested in energy issues. On Wednesday, I'm going to meet with two outside consultants for the Department of Energy who are in charge of the 1705 program for the Department of Energy, which is the Department of Energy's guaranteed load program. And we are seeking to be qualified as a development finance organization for approximately up to $6 billion in federal guaranteed loans for alternative energy and energy in the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next issue would be the Development Finance Program. That's the program where ADA actually owns projects. Examples would be the DeLong Transportation System at Red Dog or the Skagway Ore Terminal. Under the current statutes, we are required by the interpretation of the Department of Law to own the entire project. So we can't parse out a piece of it, nor can we invest, as would a private investment bank, in, say, 20% or 40% of the project with a partner. So what we sometimes have to do is figure what we could own in the project and buy that and let somebody else buy the rest. That has become a little awkward. Now, the preamble to the statute, 4488.010A, says we can incur debt to own and operate facilities. So that means it implied that we can have to own the whole thing. However, AS 4488.0805 states to the contrary that the authority can, quote, acquire an interest in a project as necessary and appropriate. Now, acquire an interest would appear to be acquiring a portion of a project. What this bill does in its third section is clarify that and make it very specific that ADA can own just a portion of a project. That could be, it would be an indivisible percentage of a project. That is, we could become an investment partner with another firm. The reason for that reform would be not only to make it easier to invest, but also to get partners in projects. If you have a partner who wants to make it a success, that gives you further due diligence. They've done their due diligence, ADA's done its due diligence, gives you a greater chance that the project's going to work. It also lets us have less risk. We own 20% of a project rather than 100% of a project. The other thing we have now is that we have to own a part of a project tied to somebody else. If the other part goes south, we own 100% of something tied to something that doesn't work. So that's not necessarily a good way to invest. So this would let us partner with investors. It would allow ADA to leverage its funds. That is, we could put in a part of it and look for the private market to fund the rest, or the federal government, for example, in the 1705 program for alternative energy. Or we could bring in knowledgeable partners who would also do their own due diligence, and we could layer invest. That is, we would bring in a number of different entities to invest in a single project, which would allow for larger projects. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair. Mark, on line 3, page 3, lines 23 and 24 in that area, where it talks about the authority to use money from rural development initiative fund to make loans for working capital equipment, but it's limited to areas that are not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks with a population of less than 2,000. Why did you put that language in there?
Why is that there? Chair, I was going to let Kathy Jeans from Investments respond to this, since this is a proposal that Investments has put forward, if you don't mind.
Just while I got you there, though.
Yeah, she's coming up next.
If I could ask Mark.
You can. I don't think I put that in there, if you want to know the truth.
Well, that's what my question was. Thank you.
Any further questions for Mark? Thanks again, Mark.
Thank you.
Kathy Jeans. We already know what one of your questions is going to be.
Hey, I do.
Welcome back.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Jeans. I am the Systems Branch Manager for the Division of Investments. So our agency administers a number of state loan programs, including the Rural Development Initiative program that would be amended by this legislation. Some quick background information on the program. It was established in 2000 to provide loans to small businesses, creating jobs in rural communities around the state. The program is based on a very similar program that was operated for many years by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. We administer this program for ADA, and the portfolio currently consists of about 40 loans, totaling approximately $4.1 million. The program is set up as a revolving loan fund, which means all repayments and earnings that come back into the fund are retained in the fund. All operating expenses are paid out of the fund. We currently have about $1.5 million available to lend. The changes proposed in this bill come about as a result of input from the public, as well as internal discussions and focus on improvements that could be made to the program. Under House Bill 410, under Section 4, it removes the restriction that a borrower can only have one loan at a time and increases the dollar amount instead under the program from $100,000 to $150,000 per person, from $200,000 to $300,000 for two or more persons. And Section 5 allows us to reduce the minimum interest rate that can be charged from 6% to 4%. And we support the changes because we believe this will increase utilization of the program, which in turn creates more jobs and benefits the economic conditions in our rural communities. And we submitted a zero fiscal note. So that will conclude my testimony. I'll be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, you or the committee members might have. So, thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So since the purpose of this is to expand the ability to provide smaller loans or more indifferent loans, more diversified loans to Alaskans, and it's Alaskans' monies that we're talking about here, if a person was to remove some of the verbiage in here, starting like on line 22, page 3, started with the word located on line 22 and ending with the word Fairbanks on line 25, that would provide even more opportunities for Alaskans to have loans to create jobs. Would that be correct?
Through the chair to Representative Newman, it probably would create more loans for more Alaskans, but this pot of money is kind of a smaller pot of money, and so what we're trying to do is to lend out money for eligible communities that are have populations of 5,000 or fewer and that are not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks, and to communities that that are connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks. So we're trying to create more jobs in those rural eligible communities.
So you're aiming at the communities that don't have access to traditional loan facilities, either commercial banks or...
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure that some of the places that we do make loans would have access to the banks, but kind of like our niche in the market is, well, first off, they need to have financing available to put in towards this project that we lend money for, so a substantial amount, and then we'll go ahead. They might get it through financing, or maybe they have some of their own, you know, startup capital, and then we could go ahead and make the loan to them. There's probably, I'm sure, banks in some of those areas, but we are going towards smaller populated areas to try to create long-term employment in those areas.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the reason why, Kathy, why I get a little bit of heartburn on this one is the ability to try and get, you know, business started and where you've got larger, you know, populations or even smaller populations. You know, this would include Cantwell, all those areas like that, pretty darn remote, you know, and opportunities for those folks to try and get something going out there. Pretty hard for them too, and I think that we should be doing all we can for as many Alaskans as we can, you know, and there's a lot of unemployment and hungry families and people trying to get by and create job opportunities in all areas of the state, and I think that when we start singling out certain areas of the state or certain sects of people from the state, by that meaning either you're on this road system or not on the road system as implied here, that when I look at equality, you know, of a system of loans that are available to Alaskans, and boy, there just seems to be not fair that way when you say that we're going to try and provide loans to certain areas of the state but not other areas of the state. You know, we need to make sure that we treat everybody equally in this state, and that's a pretty important part of what we do here. So I'm kind of thinking about maybe making a little friendly amendment here.
Isn't that what's currently on the books?
Yes, yes, that is what's currently on the books.
The only change made is from line 25, where we do the multiple loans, which I believe is similar to what CFAB has been doing for 20 years. On the
I'm not 100% sure about with CFAB, but I
believe they can do gear loans, permit loans, and boat loans.
Oh, absolutely.
From that standpoint. But it's currently what's how we're doing it right now.
No, but it's right in front of us. Too.
Small pot of money.
Well, and through the chair to Representative Newman, this particular language also came over from a program that the Department of Community and Regional Affairs had. They had a very similar loan program, but it has been on the books for a while.
Just trying to help more Alaskans.
That would be.
Representative Lynn.
Good morning.
Oh, I thought you had a question.
You're doing good.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Come on back. Thanks again, Kathy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
I'm take the hot seat for a second for Greg on this. To the chair, to Representative Newman. Again, I think what the chair has said is that the language in there is from the previous statute, and it goes way back. I think, Senator Torgerson has left, but he was giving us history on the setup of this program and the interesting intricacies that went on with making those definitions. There is another bill coming up, House Bill 412, I believe, that does talk about microloans, sort of the same type of program at a smaller amounts that do deal with giving loans for businesses, small businesses through across the state with another capitalization. The challenge was if this was changed, the wording, is then there'd have to be a way to also capitalize this fund. The wording in the statute is very limited in how this fund can be funded, and that was part that went with this wording, is my understanding. Mark probably understands it better than I, but for example, I believe in the statute it says that ADA can only give a certain amount of money towards this fund, so if you change that wording, the fund would be used up within a couple months, I would say. But I agree with Representative Newman. We're looking at different programs that deal with working capital for businesses in the other areas of the state alongside this one.
And it appears we're dealing with fiscal notes that contemplate using existing funds.
Right.
Paula, any question?
I want to try and make sure that we're reaching as many people in Alaska as we can. And that's my goal. Mm-hmm. And although there's another piece of legislation that deals with microloans, you know what? That isn't law yet. And so what do we do with these people who are trying to start these small businesses, small startups, mm-hmm. and the opportunity for that? And that's always been one of the biggest issues that I've ever heard, you know, about ADA is the inability to try and reach out to those small businesses, you know, or a person who wants to start up a smaller business like that is kind of the inability to do that. Mm-hmm. And if we've got in statute where we're saying, well, you know, we're going to take out, you know, anything along the road system here, you know, we've already made sure that people along the road system don't get lots of things. You know, let's just try and make sure that we're taking care of all Alaskans equally. And that starts to really get on me.
I think I might be able to make your day. I believe, and I'll be corrected by my staff if I'm wrong on this, but I believe we're hearing the micro loan program bill next week. I mean, we have it.
This week.
Yeah. We're hearing it shortly. So you've got some time to take a look at that one and see if there's a place to put it, because I think that one is probably more appropriate than this one, and you've got some time on it.
I just think if we took that, Mr. Chair, if we took that microloan bill and said it was only for people located in communities with populations, you know, on the road system, that there would probably be real big issues with that. And so how do you have one in one hand and not one in the other hand? And when we say, you know, our Constitution, we're all equal, and there's everything in the states that's supposed to be equal. And when we see stuff like this coming along, maybe it's not appropriate to question it. But we just got to try more and do a little bit better on that one, I think.
Well, I think with a zero fiscal note, this one has a lot better chance of surviving in the current form.
That's fine. Just throwing it out there for discussion.
And Chair, to Representative Newman, you know, Ada, the challenge that Ada has with what you said on smaller businesses is that right now, mainly our programs are dealing with programs where we partner with banks so that they are in loan participations. And as we're going through this strategic plan, we are trying to identify where Ada may be able to use direct loans, or Ada has been working with other divisions like the Division of Investment to come up with loans that can provide working capital. And that's where the microloan program came in, is that since Ada doesn't have the statute ability to do direct loans or actually the infrastructure right now, we did recommend a small working capital loan to be ran and capitalized through Division of Investments.
And what we might possibly do, we're going to be over the hump as far as bills in a week or week and a half, but we still have meetings that we could schedule. We might possibly get Ada to come back in to talk about what we can do next cycle and catch them early, because I think they're going to be in town all the way till the last day that we leave.
You bet.
But any further questions for Ted? Thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody online that cares to testify on this bill? Nobody? Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I'm going to close that public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion. And
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that, you know, the opportunity for Ada to start expanding into more of our infrastructure development programs is a good idea. You know, it allows us for a large diversification in funding or bonding or, you know, opportunities for development projects, large-scale projects within our state, large and small. you know, some of them are off the road system on this one here, but certainly a great piece of legislation the way I see it. And
so did I hear a motion there?
With that, I'd like to make a motion to move House Bill 410, 410, version /A from committee with any attached fiscal notes or individual recommendations.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move out of committee, and we will adjourn at 4:05.
Right. Get more loans to other.